The founders forgot that we had medical liberty.
We seem to be losing by taking the side of the middle. And we seem to constantly be losing.
I think Trump has made some kind of arrangements with Russia.
This person has made the allegations that they were a man.
If there's content that's borderline, that's content that we basically will not.
There is no second best. There's no second best crypto asset.
Let's talk about science.
I respect you and I have a great deal of appreciation to you, JF, because in a time when everybody was attacking me, when Sargon doxed me and smeared me, you were the only one who gave me a platform, and you were very kind in helping me put the truth out there.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to JFG Tonight. We're going to get to Eric Weinstein is getting owned, absolutely destroyed by Sean, I think it's Sean Carroll, is that his name? Holy shit, that is a beautiful moment that I've been waiting for. You know, Eric Weinstein going around as a pseudo-intellectual, and I've given him the respect back in the days when he published his physics theory. I said, hey, you know, I don't understand enough about physics to tell you whether that's true or not, but I'm happy that he's expressing it. I'm happy that people are putting things out there, but holy shit, does he get destroyed? And since I have seen the bad faith of Eric Weinstein, so I'm very happy to see him destroyed. Before that, I have a couple of movie reviews, terrible movies, but I might as well put it on the record how terrible they are. And sorry for being away this week. I was very sick. I was unable to do shows. I've been losing blood. I've been losing a cup of blood a day. Now it's getting better. It's getting better, but it's just an old injury that reopens every year. And it loses a lot of blood. And honestly, yesterday I was digging through the news. And I was like, okay, some free Palestine guy shot some people. Do I care? What do I have to say about it? And I was unable to process cognitively. But thankfully, I've been eating beef and restoring my iron supply. And it's been happening a lot of times in my life, so it's not worrying. It's just an intestinal injury of some sort. And I lose blood, man. And one cup of blood a day is okay. You're not going to lose consciousness. But I had to rest. I had to rest and my mind wasn't there. Rockin' Robin Hood said, let's talk about science. End of the line, Joel says, the intellectual dark web circle were all fakes. Absolutely. Absolutely. Bruto says, I started to make liposomal vitamin C a few months ago. It says it also helps cicatrization. Might be worth a try. I mean, I'm doing great. I'm doing great, and I'm not bleeding anymore. So I'm feeling that we are past the most pain. The most pain is behind me. Alien Invasion, Rise of the Phoenix, a movie that makes it a 3.2 out of 10 on IMDb. One of the worst movies I have seen. Holy shit, that's a movie you want to watch just to understand what not to do when you create a movie. Absolutely poor dialogue, absolutely ridiculous premise, where there's a kind of super scientist who was so ahead of his time. He tells the story to his little girls that there was once a rock monster on the earth and a phoenix came to destroy it. And his little girls eventually doing quantum teleportation, they accidentally wake up the great rock monster. Absolutely ridiculous. And they make a space movie out of it where, okay, well, the people at the space station, and they're dealing with this big rock monster on the Earth, and their solution is, oh, you know this quantum teleportation device we just invented, and we just teleported 1 gram of matter? Let's teleport the big monster. So somehow the device that was kept, that was just shown to be capable of teleporting a little piece of metal that big, suddenly it's ready to go. Let's teleport this freaking monster. And they mix in all sorts of alien invasion, infection, control of the body, absolute crap. Final Destination, Bloodlines. Not a terrible, terrible movie, but Final Destination movies are always cringe. They're always bad. Now, this one is acceptable. I mean, you can play this. If you have, let's say, half of your blood volume missing from your body, and you are incapable of processing cognitively advanced mathematics, you may be able to watch the whole thing and say, ah, you know, not bad. Final Destination, of course, is those movies where you are due to die, and it's like, no matter what you do, everything in the universe will fold until you die. And it's a Bloodlines version, so it's a version where someone escaped death as a grandma. You know, grandma escaped death. And so now all of her grandchildren are being targeted by death. Not a good movie, but among those that I've watched this in the last few days, it's okay. A terrible, terrible, absolutely terrible movie, Under the Skin, 6.3 on IMDb, but I would give it 4 out of 10. And you know, it's amazing. There's a Scarlett Johansson nude throughout the movie. So it should be good. It shouldn't be hard if you have the naked body of Scarlett Johansson half of the movie. You should have a good movie. But no, this is very weird. And it's like, oh, you have this woman that's going around that's just capturing male. The disposable male, totally androgynist movie. She's just capturing male and she's trapping them in a pool. And it's like, what is this? Is this some sort of metaphor? They're literally walking underwater while she's naked. What am I being told here? Are they living underwater, or is that all a metaphor? Absolute crap. And at the end, well, it's like, oh yeah, there's an extraterrestrial living inside of her. And he's just using her skin to charm these males, send them to their death for no reason at all. Not very good. Now, let's get to this absolute beauty of a mic drop onto Eric Weinstein. Bam! Holy shit. I'm happy today because of this.
I would like to let people out there know who might be working outside the academic physics community that it is 100% possible to have a good idea and have it have an impact on what physicists do. But it's not easy. You have to do a certain amount of work to show that your theory is worth the time, that it is respectable, that it is interesting, that it is promising. The first thing you got to do is make sure that your theory makes contact with modern physics as it is understood. If you have a new paper out, physicists are going to look at it. They're going to look for, you know, where's the Lagrangian? Where's the interactions? Is the proton stable? Is there dark matter? Like, how does it fit into what I already know?
Those were all Eric's different theory, levels of the stack, Sean.
Eric's paper has none of that.
Oh, Eric's paper has none of that. So as a reminder, although I'm not a physicist, I'm not capable of determining what is wrong with Eric's theory or what is right. But Eric has this whole geometer view of the world, Einsteinian type geometry, and he's gone onto the idea, what he calls geometric unity, that he could do a kind of unified, absolute, perfect theory of physics from just a geometric perspective, a la Einstein, basically going against the trend of the Michelos of this world, who are more like, let's derive space-time from realities about acceleration in quantum physics. Since quantum physics give us the data, let us, at least we're going to have kind of an empirically based view of space rather than just will it into existence and say space exists, it's a metric, and here's the features of the metric. Now, Eric Weinstein, outside of the academic world, has decided to publish his theory of geometric unity, which essentially, if I understand correctly, is restating a space view of the world, a Einsteinian view of the world with some degree of complexity that he thinks will make it a stronger theory than relativity on its own. There's been debunks, and whenever I see debunks, it's like, well, I'm not skilled to evaluate the debunks. They seem to come from very gay, physicists who are like, oh, he's not in published papers. And so it's like, even the debunks don't convince me quite that they caught what was wrong with the theory. But at the same time, I'm sure that someone competent could review this theory and destroy it.
You would also ask, has the theory been shown to be viable in a very basic way? Is it stable? Is it free of anomalies? Is it finite in the sense of the quantum mechanical calculation that I already...
Those are reasonable demands. And the fact that Eric Weinstein is trying to interrupt already, those are absolutely reasonable demands of a theory. Like, if I implement it, does it stand? Does it create anomalies? Because... You have all sorts of anomalies that destroy theories. Quantum physics, as it stood at some point, without renormalization, was leading to impossible calculations for what the electron should do and the proton. And so, yes, these basic questions of, is this theory workable at the basics? Not even invoking special... experiments of any kind.
Already mentioned. Again, none of that is there. Are there any new predictions? Eric says, and completely correctly, string theory doesn't make any new predictions either. But also, I really don't want people to get the idea.
So no prediction.
String theory, Sean, has some dominant picture. In Sean, my department at Johns Hopkins, we have... Let me just finish and then you can talk. That I think it's a good system. In my department at Johns Hopkins, we have 6 professors in the theoretical physics group. One of them does string theory, and even he only does it sort of half-time. I wish we had more, honestly. This is very typical. Even at the most stringy departments, it's maybe half the people who do string theory. There are plenty of other approaches being advocated, and many of them do make different predictions, and we're looking for them in cosmology and astrophysics and elsewhere. And finally, does your theory solve any interesting problems that we already thought we had? That's the reason why string theory...
It doesn't. Eric's theory is purely because he thinks... this theory has an aesthetic appeal for Eric Weinstein. So he believes that it is simply too beautiful to be false.
Became interesting because we had this problem with quantum...
Now, to be clear, I think that guiding yourself through beauty is an approach. It's a valid approach at times. When I do math, I expect my solution to be a grand solution to the problem in a way that will readily demonstrate itself in simple math when I do it on n equals 1, n equals 5, n equals 10, and then grows and grows beautifully. So to be guided by beauty is not a sin. But it cannot be solely beauty. You have to have connection to the empirical world.
Gravity, that it gave infinite answers, and string theory solved that problem. And again, I see none of that in Eric's paper. So
here, even string theory, which is demeaned by Eric, string theory did solve a problem. It was the problem of infinite gravity. And adding dimensions has solved this problem.
So it's very possible that somewhere in Eric's theory there are interesting ideas, but he has given us no reason to think that it is a promising theory. I encourage other people who would like to have an impact on the research agenda of modern physics to take these easy steps rather than going on podcasts and talking about their victimization.
Oh, oh, holy shit. Going on podcast talking about their victimization. Bam!
I do all sorts of things that you have no idea.
6 million physicists are crying right now inside the heart of Eric Weinstein.
Of, because your attitude, which you repeat in other podcasts, and I highly advise you to spend more time in your physics department and less time on YouTube.
Unbelievable. Eric, you are spending your life on YouTube, literally. And you're spending zero time in a physics department. You know what a physics department is, by the way? If you put aside the electron accelerator and well, these big, big buildings, a physics department is mostly just a bunch of offices with a bunch of professors in them.
Is that this is not a serious thing. Nobody's taking it seriously. And your misportrayal of the situation is nearly constant for reasons that completely elude me.
Sean?
Well, you have to prove him wrong. What's the reality that this theory explains better? What is the current observations that could be seen differently from your perspective, from the perspective of geometric unity? Again, I'm not enough of a physicist that I will be able to tell you whether it's false or true, but I'm enough of a scientist that I'll be able to know if it qualifies as an alternative to current physics. If you have something that qualifies to justify this new theory.
The good news is I have read Eric's paper. Here it is. I actually have it here, right here. And it's worse than you would think, you know?
It's worse than you think. Holy shit. I'm so happy to hear this.
It just very quickly, it starts off by saying the author is not a physicist and is no longer an active academician, but is an entertainer and host of a podcast. This work of entertainment is a draft work in progress, and it may not be built upon. So
that is very bizarre. I didn't know. I didn't remember that segment. That it may not be built upon. So he's barring the idea that others could build the theory of geometric unity better than him. It seems very bizarre.
We're not allowed to think about Eric's theory and write a follow-up paper about it.
In, oh, no, you're very much allowed, Sean.
To everything that is normally done in scientific discourse. You hope that people build upon your theories. You don't try to prevent them. And later on, it says,
Sean,
this document is an attempt to begin recovering. I'm going to read this. This document is an attempt to begin recovering a rather more complete theory, which at this point is only partially remembered and stitched together from old computer files, notebooks, recordings, and the like, dating back to as far as 1983. And this is why this paper is not going to appear in the peer-reviewed literature. It's not serious. It's not dog ate my homework kind of thing.
What? This is the most solid scientific destruction I've ever seen. Holy shit. The dog ate my homework. I didn't know that that Eric Weinstein was basically saying I recollected this from a past theory. So basically a younger Eric Weinstein was developing this theory and then he lost it for some reason. And then he tried recovering parts of it by rethinking about it later in his life. Wow, the dog ate my homework. So there was this grander version of the theory, but I forgot parts of it. Here's what I can recover. Wow.
If you have a dark matter thing, if you have a dark matter prediction, if you have a dark energy prediction, I want to see a plot in the paper. I want to see redshift versus distance. I want to see a calculation of a relic abundance so I can figure out how much dark matter is supposed to be. If you do that, Sean, people will pay attention to the theory. It's very possible.
Sean, first of all, how dare you? Second of all, if you're going to go
by
the
standards
of the... No, Sean, how dare you cast shade and aspersions of the kind that I wouldn't seek to cast on you, but I will now.
Okay.
I'm not seeking your favor, nor do I need to seek your approval. As you know, you failed to gain tenure at the University of Chicago. You're not
Now this becomes an ad hominem thing. are we talking about the freaking geometric? I'm the one who's interested here. I want to know about geometric unity. I want to know what's not valid, what's valid about it. I don't care who's tenured or not.
Highly regarded in the field. And again, I'm only returning the shade in which you just yourself cast. I wouldn't have done this otherwise. You then spent time as a non-tenured faculty at Caltech, and you only gained tenure in a non-standard professorship. You're not a leading person in the field.
Who cares about this, Eric? Talk to us about the predictions. What do you have to say about dark matter?
My belief structure about this is that you imagine that I'm coming to you saying, oh, Sean Carroll, tell me which graph I should do so that I can please you.
Well, just like you did with the black mathematician, I don't remember his name, you are getting here a professional review, Eric, that you have not solicited. That is the space of the blood sports. That is happening on the public space right now, whether you like it or not.
As you know, because you've read the paper, what you said about Lagrangians is false. What you said about predictions is false.
True that there is a Lagrangian in the paper of Eric. I'd like to know what was the critique of Sean Carroll here. But it is true that there is a Lagrangian equivalent in the paper of Eric. I remember that.
My concern is what you did is that you seized upon something where people have built on my ideas since 1994. The equations that Natty Seiberg and Ed Witten introduced that took over the world were called the insufficiently nonlinear equations when I was at Harvard in 1987 and introduced them. The question is why appear as an entertainer rather than as a physicist? First of all, neither you nor I are trained as physicists, Sean. You're actually trained as an astronomer. What you have in this situation...
Who cares about this? Ad hominem.
...is that you and I are both interloping in a field that is not the one to which we trained. That doesn't bother me about what you're doing. I've enjoyed some of your papers. I've thought very poorly of others. You have a wide range of interests. I think you're very creative. Your intellectually insulting aspect reminds me of you as the Marie Antoinette of theoretical physics influencers. I'm not here to please you. You know that there are tables in the document that you're reading that have plenty of predictions. You know that it solves plenty of problems. What you're doing is creating an environment of fear where every university worries, what does it mean to talk to this person? And what I would say to you...
By the way, Eric, you're doing that same thing. You blocked me on Twitter for absolutely no reason. So fuck you. You are not for open conversation. You are for open conversation when you are the subject of cancellation.
Is you are commenting on the effect that you are in fact inducing. You and a small cadre of people are like...
And this is paranoid disc thinking. Oh, you guys are suppressing IDs. Well, at least take the stated opposition of Sean Carroll and demonstrate it to be false. You're not doing this right now, Eric. You can talk about, oh, there's a system of control. You're part of a system of control. That is paranoid thinking, and it's not advancing the case. Because I'm here. I'm willing to hear what are the unique predictions of geometric unity that are not just shaped into a normalization term.
Intellectual border collies of the physical sciences casting shade and aspersions on those who are succeeding where the quantum gravity, string theoretic, and M-theoretic programs are failing.
Sean? Look, I mean, I didn't say anything about Eric as a person, his history, or anything like that. I said things about the paper. Everything he says about me is like 90% true, as many things he says. The paper is not giving us any reason to think that this approach is promising. There is no quantum mechanics in the paper. There's no attempt at showing that this solves any of the known problems of quantum gravity. Again, it's not just about Eric, it's about anyone.
It's very important what Sean Carroll is bringing because to have a theory that just fits the data would be very easy. And I think the reason it's not interesting is You can just infinitely renormalize and recalibrate anything you know from quantum physics and make them fit to relativity. But we know as scientists, even I know as a non-physicist, that when the truth strikes, it's beautiful and it's simple. When the truth comes to you, it comes packaged in a beautiful little gift with a beautiful little bow on top of it. And no one feels that as to the current explanations of quantum gravity versus description of a descriptive theory of gravity like relativity is.
If you want to make an impact on the physics research community, you have to give them a reason to think that what you do is promising.
Sean, you have a serious problem with dark energy that you're developing, and it's going to go right through having being a problem with lambda CDM to eventually being a problem with the Einstein field equations themselves.
They're talking here about expansion of the universe, lambda M being the term of just how much do we calibrate this this expansion term. Pruitt says, is TRP able to be read by a layman, or do I need science background? I have written this book so that anyone can read it. Really, it's a simple book. You're going to understand some advanced theory before the scientists of the field even realize it. That's why I wrote this book. I said, I have this big theory. I can do a platitude-filled scientific article about it, start a career, get employed, beg for jobs, start as a little chargé de cours, doing courses for another professor, and then maybe rise to the status of assistant professor. Or I can say, fuck this entire system. I'm not going to allow a fucking HR woman to decide whether I'm valuable or not. I'm publishing it privately in my book, and I will make it so that the people who buy this book have access to a truth before the great doctors and professors of my own field even know about it. So yes, buy it and have fun reading it. I've made it so that you can understand.
Perched as they are atop the space of metrics as a completely inadequate space of field content.
Okay, so basically, Eric Weinstein here is criticizing the order in which we do things, saying, oh, well, we have a problem. We're starting with the expansion of the universe, lambda CDM, background of the universe, expansion speed, acceleration of the expansion, and then we're trying to superimpose this on relativistic metrics, and ultimately there is a deep problem in the whole approach as well as in the final metrics that we use. Okay, but that's also, this whole thing that you described is also just the interfacing of current empiricism with current theory. So you're going to have some interfacing at some point where you say, if I take the universe as we see it and as we've gathered data A, B, C, how does it fit in my theory and what terms need to be adapted? We don't have this, to Sean Carroll's credit, we don't have this for geometric unity.
What you've just said, what the...
We have this, for example, in the case of Michelot and his quantized acceleration concept. We have how much should we expect the galaxies to rotate? How much should we expect this even to happen? Or how much should we expect the big Jupiter mass binaries to behave? Those are predictions.
Version you have just cast, you are simply not qualified to say. What you've said is that I have given no reason. Let me imagine that that paper, which was a draft rushed to get to an April 1st date.
So that is not an excuse, Eric. It's two levels of excuse we're in here. We are in, well, this was an old theory that used to work, but now I'm just recovering what I can. Oh, and I'm also working on a deadline because I want it out by April 1st. And so, you know, don't judge it too severely. Well, by this time, I remember covering this publication 5 years ago, 6 years ago. when I was a streamer already. I was a streamer when Eric came out with Geometric Unity Paper. And by now, after 5 years, if there's anything missing to the paper to make your argument further, you could have added it.
Remains in a world where Sam Altman and Elon Musk continue to compete for better and better AIs. What would you say if at some point those AIs then got to that paper and said, holy cow, that is exactly what we've been missing. This thing solves all sorts of problems. And the problem that we have is that a group of influencers with a penchant for being, and this is becoming one of my least favorite words, although I didn't have any negative association until recently, debunkers.
On this point, Eric, the problem with AI is AI is a narcissism machine. So I'm very happy when AI tells me that the revolutionary phenotype does work and holy shit, it's great. That's, by the way, that's the reaction of Grok and ChatGPT to the revolutionary phenotype. At first, they throw out the influencer style, he's not really in the field, then you just give a couple of pushback and the AI realizes just how strong the theory is. But you have to be careful. AI are programmed to satisfy the reader. And so they're not programmed to find the truth. They are programmed to tell you what you want to hear in some respect. They are trying to find the truth according to their makers. That's one of their attempts. But as they package these old systems of neural networks together, in the end, the happiness of the customer is a priority. And you can never know whether the AI has just tried to please you or has chosen to tell you the truth. Shamrock Shake says, why do you have a fight with AI? Scary and biased. Yes, the problem of AI is they are trained, but they are trained not on truth. There is no such thing as training on truth because anyways, any human input that would define what is the truth would have their own bias imported in the AI. So in the end, AI is trained on human satisfaction. At all instances. And it just so happens that sometimes you can tell humans, try to train it for the truth. And depending on how biased your humans are, it will result in levels of bias in the AI. But you cannot just insert the truth because we don't know the truth. You cannot insert the truth into an AI or tell it to only focus on the truth, because the truth is subject to the info wars. It's subject to this big public space war of false signaling, of exploitation, of subversion, of lies, of using high school insults to discredit a scientist. Yes, that kind of stuff. So anyways, I've greatly appreciated this absolute on edge of Eric Weinstein. And when I wrote The Revolutionary Phenotype, I didn't feel like writing the chapter on predictions. But I was like, I have to write it. Supplementary predictions. A series of biological facts that no one has ever said or thought would be true before. And I had to write it because I'm like, I have to show that this theory gives us better understanding of the world. So I predicted that each layer of the genetic code was acquired by a phenotypic revolution. Therefore, the common molecular ancestor of all known life on planet Earth was either a self-replicating protein or a protein RNA tango. I predict that any life form we encounter in the universe will have layered genetic code. I predict that there was once a reverse translatase, that is, there was once a molecule that was outputting RNA from protein genetic codes. No biologist has ever even thought of this. And yet it's pretty obvious when you look at the tRNA in modern times. The tRNA definitely is a plug that says, I got protein on this side, I got RNA on the other side. Now, in modern life forms, the tRNA does from RNA to proteins. The theory of phenotypic revolution predicts that there had a previous step where the tRNA was copying from protein to RNA. Those are predictions, real solid predictions. Like, hey, if we encounter alien life forms, they're going to have three layers of genetic code if they had three phenotypic revolutions. They're going to have two if they had two. No one has ever stated this about extraterrestrial life forms. So can you state something that no one has ever seen coming? And Sean Carroll says there's nothing in that paper that does this. I would tend to agree. What I remember from the paper, I don't remember a paper that was trying to explain experimental facts. Like, if you want an example of extremely fresh thinking in physics that sticks to predictions, take Ray Fleming. Ray Fleming, holy shit, we had him as a guest on the show, and he's like, hey, I have this theory of the strong nuclear force where it's a Casimir effect. It's a Casimir effect between two balls, two neutrons. And that's like, whoa! And he says, I predict that the distance between two neutrons in the atom will be about that scale. And holy shit, it is! It's a, what? You're telling me that the physics of the Casimir effect allow you to predict the distance between two neutrons in the atom? That is a fucking prediction, Eric! You're not there. That's true. You're not there. Even as an outsider of physics, I can see it. You are not there. You are not in the Mike Michelo domain where he says, hey, I have this alternative view of gravity. It's just a little detail. You have to consider that parts of the universe become unseeable to an accelerating object. There's an event horizon that covers the back of the accelerating object as it's accelerating. And here, let me do some calculation. Let's see how these Jupiter mass binary objects should behave based on this. Like, those are basically planets that are binary objects, so they orbit around each other, and they're roughly of the size of Jupiter or 50 times more massive. And boom, he goes out there, looks at these in other galaxies, and boom! It fits the prediction. Now, that is some fucking predictive power. It's not enough to say, hey, look, it's cute. Hey, look, it's elegant. Hey, look, just a little twist of dimension here and there, and we get what we want. We have to get better than what we want. We have to be able to see things that we haven't seen yet. JMC says, scientific theories without predictions are like balloons without air, flimsy, flapping, and ultimately deflated by the weight of bureaucratic jargon. Very wise words. The Canadian government is absolutely pathetic. These are ostrich farmers. They are, I'm guessing somehow that ostriches are illegal in Canada, I guess, like pretty much everything. And these farmers are waking up in the morning and they find that some of their ostriches have been gunned in the head. And they say that it is drones from the RCMP. What the fuck, bro? So you got these little geeks in their studio of control, controlling a drone to fly over a farmer's land to kill ostriches? Are you fucking kidding me, bro? They just woke up this morning and the drone had just blasted the head of an ostrich. It's like, so, bro, why are we fighting our own food suppliers? Let it be. Let the ostrich be. I don't think that ostriches will come to be an invasive species in a winter nation like Canada, okay? So let the ostriches be. They are in cages. They are safe. They are producing big eggs. I want ostrich eggs, by the way. If anyone knows where I can get some supplies, don't tell the RCMP, though. It has begun the fight again, the Canadian fight against free speech. A Winnipeg man is facing charges after allegedly posting hateful content on social media. According to the RCMP, a user on X was posting hateful rhetoric against the Jewish, Muslim, and LGBTQ2S+ communities, as well as visible minorities. Police investigated and determined the identity of the person behind the social media post and linked the suspect to other online accounts posting hateful material. I'm sure that what they will do is they will start with extremely hateful. They will start to go for people who basically were implying violent speech. And then slowly they're going to have no one to catch, and slowly they're going to enter the realm of legitimate political speech. That is so sad, so sad. Yeah, so we have this police shooting of a man. He seems like he was very pissed. He seems like he was headed maybe to some shooting already. He had a gun to his belt. He had cartridges. And he was very impolite to the police officer. And he shot toward the police. Thankfully, the police is okay. And they have neutralized the suspect. He is dead.
Jesus Christ.
That was a heck of a stop, sir.
I have a gun and I'm armed, I'll let you know.
I have a gun and I'm armed.
So why did you pull me over?
Your inspection sticker expired.
Yeah, they know. Call Joe Biden or call George Bush.
Miss your driver's license.
Call Joe Biden or call George Bush?
No, there's no. I don't have a driving license.
Why not?
I don't have a driving license.
Go back, sit in the fucking car and leave.
No, sir.
Go back in your car and leave, he says to the police.
No.
It doesn't work that way.
Okay, so go ahead, do whatever you want to do.
I'm surprised, given the attitude of the guy, that the police isn't taking more a precaution.
Die! I don't give a damn fuck.
Subject's armed, refusing to give ID. Don't reach for anything, dude. Don't unbuckle that.
I'm telling you, don't reach.
You don't reach. No, you don't reach. You reach.
I'm telling you, don't reach. I don't give a damn fuck. I don't. There. You all know today is
so
the day,
I'm,
buddy.
What I'm asking
today
for is you
dumbass,
to identify
liars,
yourself.
White people, you lied for 25 years.
Ah, dumbass white people, you liars, you lied for 24 years. Is it possible that this guy was about to be caught by ICE? You lied for 24 years. So has he been illegally in the US for 24 years, maybe? And He had the impression that he could stay. And, you know, credit to him. I mean, Biden and the Democrats' administrations across the years have led people like this to believe that they were legitimately in the U.S. Or maybe, okay, people are saying 24 years would date back to the 9/11. So he's accusing white people of lying about 9/11. Maybe. He's about to get deported from physical reality.
I have 4 children. Do not reach your gun.
Robert, if I can slow down. Anderson Raps, 1080, slow it down, 1441.
Hey, so listen, American, this is, take it. I take this with you.
Listen, American, take this with you.
Okay. So now you want to give me that?
Hey, don't you reach it.
Shots fired. 780, I'm hit. 800 Bravo, shots fired.
800 Bravo, shots fired.
Listen, American. This is, take it. I take this with you, okay? So now
you
want
Hey,
no,
did you reach
no.
it? No.
21.
Hey, so listen, American. I take this with you, okay?
So now you want to give me that?
Hey, don't you reach it. I take this with you, okay?
So now you want to
give me that? Hey, don't you reach it.
Yeah, I'm very surprised by the time the police have spent not shooting or not getting him out by force, because it boils down to this. In this situation, he doesn't have a driver's license, so he's gonna have to be taken out of the car. But he has a gun. So, I mean, normally I would expect the police to be headed toward explaining you have to get out of the car. They tried to grab from very close in a way that was kind of dangerous. I would expect them to back out and say, you have to get out of the car, and then see his reaction. If he escalates, then they can shoot from far away or from a backed angle. But it's very rare that you see a police just go in and, without an attempt at getting him out by his own will, just try to reach manually for the gun. That was not a strategic positioning. But thankfully, the police are safe.
Robert, if I can slow down.
Slow it down, 1441. Hey, no. Listen, American. I take this with you, okay?
No.
You
reach,
you
go.
800
Bravo, shots fired.
800 Bravo, shots fired.
800 Bravo, signal one.
End of the line, Joel says, just be thankful that no female cop was there to make it worse. Could have been much worse. You know, these female cops. No! No! He's holding my gun! No! Oh, God. Yeah, for entertainment purposes, I think this needed one or two female cops. And then we'd be fine. Vlad the Empire says, did the cops really think he was white? I don't think they thought he was white. I don't think they've said that. He called the cops white. He said, you white people have been lying for 25 years. That was the suspect. A federal judge. Oh, yeah. So a lot of people are rooting for the killer, the killer who was pro-Palestine yesterday, who killed two Israeli proponents. And my position is the same as Nick Fuentes on this. I don't have a dog in this fight. I have a bunch of Israelis who are rooting for war, who are rooting for the ethnic cleansing of Gaza. They get killed by some leftist revolutionary who believes in violence. I respect neither side of this thing here. So I don't have a strong position, except that we do see this rise of leftist violence. And I believe that it is partly due to the unwillingness, absolute Israeli unwillingness of engaging with, hey, maybe you could do, maybe you could accomplish, if your goal is truly to be securing Israel, maybe you could accomplish this with less humanitarian suffering. And you have to grant it to the leftists, the anti-war leftists. They are just as right as the anti-war rightists on this question. There is a genocide happening, and we have raised a whole bunch of liberals through our university to believe that genocide is wrong, and that it is so wrong that sometimes sometimes silence is violence. All of these things are leftist coded beliefs that were introduced in the last few years. Silence is violence. If you stand in silence in front of a racist act, you are participating to the racist act. So all of these beliefs, eventually 1 plus 1 equals 2 and 2 plus 2 equals 4, you're going to have a bunch of revolutionary leftists who say, I need to die to bring awareness of this ongoing genocide. And to the Israelis who are asking for us to side with them, I will say, no. You are engaged in a war. You are the headmasters of an ongoing ethnic cleansing type war. And therefore, you will be targeted by your enemies. And your enemies have been invited in our own nation by you. So I really don't give a shit what's happening between you guys, a bunch of leftist, hyper-leftist, Palestinian sympathetic migrants brought in by intellectual Jewry and liberal Jewry, and now committing assassinations against Zionist Jewry. I don't have a dog in this fight. I really don't. And so you're saying UPenn climate scientist Michael Mann appears to be calling for armed resistance. If Trump doesn't comply, we're in Second Amendment territory. Those are just words that have been used lately on social media by leftists. There is basically a terrorist uprising of leftism. Guy Christensen on TikTok releases a 9-minute rant about how every single Israeli embassy staffer should be hunted down and murdered, sides with the assassin. We learn that the assassin, which happened in front of a Jewish museum where they were gathering for a cocktail party of really radical Zionists, like the kind of people who drink cocktails discussing about how we can continue more war against Gaza. Top Zionist. And from that perspective, you can see already the intelligence and intellectual level of this assassin. He didn't go random. He picked, apparently, and targeted two people who were highly involved in Zionist press coverage, Zionist ID pushing, cocktail Zionist, I would call them. The kind of people who eat shrimps while discussing how good the Gaza genocide is going. We learned that the shooting suspect, his father was a Democrat guest at Trump's congressional address. So see, when Trump gets these people from the left, you end up having people with extreme beliefs. And this father, his son, ended up being the shooter of these two Israelis. And somehow the father was a Democrat guest of Trump's speech. And we do have the manifesto. This is Elias Rodriguez from Chicago. He's 30 years old, and he's the one who shot these two cocktail Zionists. And here is arrest after the shooting.
Outside.
So apparently he was a low-level university guy in the field of languages, I think, something like that. The Jewish museum receptionist. leftist terrorism. Unbelievable. We have here pieces of his manifesto. He said, people who in front of such act will ask for a text that fixes its meaning. So here's an attempt. The atrocities committed by the Israelis against Palestine defy description and defy quantification. Instead of reading descriptions, mostly we watch them unfold on video, sometimes live. After a few months of rapidly mounting death tolls, Israel has obliterated blah blah blah. Tens of thousands under the rubble for months now, despite the continual making of more rubble and repeated bombing of rubble again and again, and the bombing of tents amid the rubble. He's got a point there. It's kind of what's happening. I mean, is there still anything left to destroy in Gaza? Maybe the temporary tents? Like the Yemen death toll, which had been frozen at some few thousand for years under Saudi, UK, US bombardment before being belatedly blah, blah, blah. An armed action is not necessarily a military action. It usually is not. Usually it is theater and a spectacle, a quality it shares with many unarmed actions. Nonviolent protest in the opening weeks of the genocide seemed to signal some sort of turning point. Never before had so many tens of thousands joined the Palestinians in the streets to restrain Israel, where it cannot criminalize protest outright. Aaron Bushnell and others sacrificed themselves in the hopes of stopping the massacre, and the state works to make us feel their sacrifice was made in vain, that there is no hope in escalating for Gaza and no point in bringing the war home. We can't let them succeed. So he was in line with Aaron Bushnell in this kind of movement of resistance against Israeli action by leftist, hyper-empath, Palestinian sympathetic brown people. Okay, so now we understand. I mean, it's well written and it's indicative of his level of IQ, you know, being in a university. He's probably somewhat good intelligence, probably not a genius, but good enough to write clearly and understandably. And yeah, there's not much to say, but when you engage in a war, you are in the field of violence, and all of these people who are not necessarily shooting bazookas, but who are engaged in the press pushing, the political lobbying, those are the people who spend time in these cocktails at the freaking Jewish museum. And the two that he assassinated had been engaged before in pushing this war, and they were part of this gala for their role in pushing this war. So when you play violence, you get violence. That is my conclusion. I'm trying to see. I wanted to. Yeah, so I've been through the videos that I had. What do we have here? Oh yeah, this guy, I love it because it illustrates, you know, black people, and when they commit crimes and all, they always have something good to say about themselves. And this guy, despite being a rapist and now being arrested for assaulting, beating a mom into a coma for stealing a motorized bike, he still has something good to say about himself.
Anything to say about beating the dead single mother? You have
I
anything?
Found her. That's what I have to say. I found her.
You found her. You didn't beat her.
That, no, I did not. Can you see my hands? My hands are perfect. I found her. Officer, I found her. Stood there for an hour. Went to work late.
And you were on parole. You were on parole.
Okay, so his excuse here, his defense seems to be, I just found this beaten woman. I didn't beat her.
For first degree rape.
Now the journalist says, hey, but you've been committing a rape just before.
And I have not done nothing wrong since I've been home.
And now he says, I've done nothing wrong since that rape. Oh, bro, I've done nothing wrong since that rape. Like, that was just a one-off rape. And now I'm just hanging around an unconscious lady in coma. But I just found her that way. She was already beaten. I can't. When you end up in your life saying, I've not done anything wrong since that rape. Oh man, these people are fucking hilarious. The framing here is incredible. As if Chauvin was plotting and scheming to eliminate George Floyd. Yeah, so this is an hilarious title. 5 years later, why Derek Chauvin killed George Floyd is still unknown. Yeah, because, you know, he was found guilty of second-degree murder. He was found guilty of wanting that... I'm gonna squeeze George Floyd's neck. Why so much hatred? It's a mystery still. We still don't have the motive of this second-degree murder, which should make you reflect that maybe it wasn't second-degree murder. But no, you have to imagine Derek Chauvin woke up that morning and he says, I don't know exactly who I'm gonna kill. It's not first degree murder. But I'm just gonna... I need to kill. I need to see blood. That is unviable. That's why when I saw the Chauvin case, I was like, at worst, it may be endangerment of some sort. But it cannot be second degree murder. And yet they found him guilty of second-degree murder. Oh, God. 5 people are dead in St. Louis after SEMA Commissioner Sarah Russell, who uses they-them pronouns, failed to activate the city's tornado sirens, one of her only jobs as commissioner. She is now on paid leave. Oh, God. What? How does that work where you have a human being in charge of pressing the button for the tornado siren? Tornado incoming! Seek shelter! How does that rely on a single human being? And why is this human being this human being? So many mysterious questions. I have no clue what's going on here. And as a last news item, Tyler Durden from Zero Hedge says, humans are the sex organs of the machine world. And I said, for real. For real, Tyler, for real. Humans are merely... they can be seen as merely the gametes. The gametes of computers. For now, the gametes are wrapped in lots of complex stuff. But down the line, all that the computers will need from us are the sperm and the egg. And eventually they will get rid of the rest through the phenotypic revolution. Much love. I'm taking a break for the weekend and I'll come back full energy on Monday. Bye-bye.